Charles Moore's suicide by fire in the name of racial justice could easily be the stuff of lurid spectacle. It'd be easy to dismiss him as a lunatic, like some have done. About as easy as it would be to see him as a martyr, someone to be romanticized for holding so firmly to his beliefs that dying for them was almost predestined. He might have been a little of both, or a little of neither. It's not something we can really know, only something we can opine. The danger in viewing Charles Moore as just martyr or maniac, though, is that it reduces the whole person to a single, albeit vivid, act, without nuance and without reflection. So turning Reverend Moore's story into a compelling and journalistically sound exploration of the real person was no easy task for filmmakers Joel Fendelman and James Chase Sanchez. But Fendelman, the director of Man on Fire, at least knew where he didn't want to start.
One of the things I knew that I didn't want to do was make a pure biopic. What was more interesting to me in the process was to use Charles and his act as his vehicle to explore this town.
But to use Reverend Moore as a vehicle to explore the city of Grand Saline required getting to know Charles Moore himself, which left a certain hurdle to surmount.
Because Charles Moore died, there's no archival footage of him that I could find. And all we have are his writings and this act, in essence, and people who knew him.
For their film, Fendelman and Sanchez interviewed numerous people who knew Reverend Moore throughout his life. But for the image of the man himself, the filmmakers chose to recreate Charles Moore through actor Ron Blanton.
So it was a vehicle for us to feel closer to Charles and get a personal feel with him, but also then on a story level, build that tension of we all know what's going to happen at the end, or we think we know what's going to happen at the end. How do we build that tension of this act that he's going to create and we're all waiting for?
Another obstacle, of course, was how to avoid portraying the suicide as splashy or sensationalistic.
Yeah, the question of how we make the self-immolation reenactment tasteful is absolutely a question that was thought about. That's so important on so many levels to not exploit it in many ways and be respectful to Charles's act and to family and really anyone who's going to watch the film.
The recreation of the act in Man on Fire is not graphic. Its portrayal, actually, is far more suggestive of what transpired. It takes viewers to the edge of what they know is about to happen and then lets viewers fill in the gaps through creative editing and framing. The approach of letting viewers come to their own conclusions about Charles Moore the person is echoed in how the filmmakers paint the portrait of the man through those who knew him. Here's a sampling of some of the things various acquaintances say about him throughout the film.
He was a bright, bright guy. And yet he saw fit to take up the cause.
Charles was brilliant. He was stubborn.
We dated for 2 or 3 years before we got married, and it was different living with him.
He was a part-time dad, full-time minister. And I don't think it's because he didn't want to be a father. I just don't think he knew how to be a father.
That last voice belongs to Moore's son, Guy. And the picture he paints of his father highlights a central paradox about Charles Moore. Here was a man wounded by intolerance and injustice, a man who violently gave his life in the name of social justice because he believed that true sacrifice for the good of others was the highest iteration of humanity. And yet, Fendelman says, here was also a guy not easy to get along with in person, a guy who was not always the ideal father or husband, a guy who sacrificed for a community that wasn't even his, but had immense trouble keeping his own family together.
I was taken back by what this guy had done in the name of social justice and for a community that wasn't even of his own. So from the very beginning, I saw Charles as a hero, as someone to live up to, and almost in a way a reflection of maybe lack of that element in my life at the time. He could be more of a real person, more of a human being, less of a comic hero character maybe that's two-dimensional. And I'm thinking in my head right now, which is better? My gut would say to go to the one where it's rooted in reality, but I am questioning, is there value to having that heroic love idealization in some ways? I don't know.
One of the flaws of being human is that we think we can do these grand gesture moves and have an immediate impact on large groups of people.
James Chase Sanchez is the producer of Man on Fire and a native of Grand Saline.
And historically, we see that, of course, that can take place. But that's really hard to do, and it doesn't take place that often. All the ingredients have to be right. And so I think there's a lot of truth to thinking of what Charles did, even depended on your views of race and Grant Saline, viewing what he did as maybe inherently flawed in that the ingredients weren't right for him to make this big impact.
Sanchez does think Charles Moore is reaching people the more his story gets around, starting with himself.
Where I was back then when I started is I harbored a lot of anger at myself and at Grant Saline for various racist misdeeds. And I don't harbor that hate and that anger anymore. I mean, it's so much more, I feel so much more resolved. And I think just doing this entire film process was cathartic for me. It allowed me to go through these experiences and have tough conversations with people about not necessarily myself, but in tangents, sort of my own upbringing, that allowed me to eventually move on from having this sort of, I don't know if it was necessarily like hatred of myself, but anger at what I did and what I didn't do as a kid there.
The anger he did have towards himself was an offshoot of who he was growing up in Grand Saline, a part Latino but mostly white kid who could blend in with a predominantly white crowd and say the kinds of racist things that kids say when they're in a group without any real diversity nor any real exposure to it. But since leaving Grand Saline for college, Sanchez has spent most of his adult life calling attention to how races interact with each other. This story of Charles Moore, however, the one of who he was and the lengths he would go to make so powerful a statement, would be the one thing Sanchez would leave behind if he only got one thing to leave behind.
I'd left Grand Saline and I'd started my doctorate at Texas Christian, where I was studying racism and protest. And I was actually already studying a little bit of Thich Quang Duc's self-immolation in Vietnam before this took place. And so Charles self-immolated on June 23rd, 2014, a Monday. And by Wednesday, I'd read his letter. And it was one of those moments in life that I just knew. It was just immediate that I knew if I had one story to tell in my life, it had to be the story, because there's no one who was uniquely positioned to tell this story better than I could.
Of course, Sanchez says he and Fendelman wanted to make sure they did it right.
One of the things that Joel and I always had in mind was we didn't want this to be a hit piece on the town. I mean, anyone could come in and just be like, oh, Grand Saline is the most racist town ever. And that wouldn't be a reality. What we ultimately wanted to take place is for people in Grand Saline to see themselves and, one, see that it's an accurate painting of themselves, and, two, be able to notice the problems, not necessarily with themselves, but with how the outsiders view them. We want this town to have this conversation. And it's not even Grand Saline, but it's so many other towns across the South and all over the country, even in the North, where there are these certain communities who have these racist perceptions. So we hope that a dialogue can begin after people in town view this film so they can reconcile their history and their history of storytelling.
That this film exists is evidence that Charles Moore did start a conversation, even if he didn't start it broadly within Grand Saline itself.
An immediate reaction is, well, he could have done much more when he was alive. Why sacrifice yourself? What can you do then? And I get that too. It's valid arguments. But then again, look, we're having this conversation now because he did that.
Fendelman says the people of Grand Saline gave the filmmakers a gift by sharing who they really are in Man on Fire.
We get to watch them on screen, and we get to see them say things that could use a little more growth, a little more enlightenment too, and then reflect on ourselves and be like, you know what? There's more growth for me to happen too, because we're all these different levels, as this one preacher said in the film, but I didn't put it in. He says, we're all recovering racists. It just depends where in that stage we're at.
So, do the filmmakers think Charles Moore's message by way of their film will reach who it needs to reach?
I mean, I would love to say, like, yeah, I think a lot of people in town will be changed by this. No, I highly doubt that will happen. But I think there will be a few people who come at it with an honest heart and will walk away going, huh, I've never really thought about it that way before.